Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU. Keep listening for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. Today we are talking markets. Within the last year, there has been an explosion of markets happening around town, and we're not mad at it. To kick off this episode, we will be chatting with Sean and Kylie Skellington of Skellington Curiosities about their store, cultivating Waco spooky culture, and their monthly oddities and curiosities market. Later on, I'll be joined by Rebecca Hagman, co-owner of Cultivate 712, and local entrepreneur Lori Davidson to introduce the Waco Town Chalk and Walk Market, coming to downtown Waco later this spring. To get started, we welcome the duo promoting Spooky Vibes 365, Sean and Kylie Skellington. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourselves and your ties to Waco?
Yeah, so we are actually new to Waco. We grew up in California, moved to Waco about 2 years ago, and we absolutely love it. Waco's treated us very well.
What has piqued your interest in oddities and fun things like this?
I mean, we've always been very interested in oddities and the darker side of the culture and spooky vibe 365, Halloween.
Yeah, it's just ingrained in us.
Uh-huh. It's just our personalities. Yeah. We live it.
So I guess about a year now almost, you guys opened Skellington Curiosities.
Yeah, almost a year, March 8th.
Yeah, 10 days before COVID shut everything down.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's a big adjustment, opening a store for the first time.
Oh, yes.
And then being hit with that. What inspired you to launch your store?
Well, I own a clothing label called Dark and Dreary Clothing, and she's a seamstress and a lingerie designer for her company, Mod Ministry Merch. And we had a little warehouse in Hewitt when we first moved here, and people kept contacting us, wanting to come by the warehouse, see what we got, and it wasn't set up for retail. And when our lease was coming up, we had always dreamed and talked about having our own store, and we just said, you know what, let's pull the trigger on it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So how has your experience been in this last year since you guys launched right before COVID?
It's highs and lows.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, why do you want to do that in Waco? Because Waco is, you know, considered very conservative and all this stuff. But there's actually a huge community of people that just love spooky things, horror movies, collectibles, all that stuff. So the day that we had our grand opening, there was like 300 people that showed
up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and they carried us through the whole shutdown with online sales and all of our events that we were just doing online virtually. It's just been amazing.
Can you tell us a little bit about what falls under the umbrella of oddities and curiosities?
So oddities and curiosities, I would say, is the things that you can't just, they're not manufactured. Things that are more of the macabre. Like animal skulls and skeletons, wet specimens, which are like dead things in jars.
Collectibles.
Yeah, collectibles. yeah, it's a lot of the macabre art that, like, it's not manufactured. It's the juxtaposition of life and death.
Yeah. Since these items are so specific and peculiar compared to manufactured things, how do you guys find them and source them?
Our store itself houses about 20 local vendors, and everything from Gotti's Oddities provides a lot of things.
Grotesque Anomaly.
Yeah.
So I love all these
names.
We just
try to source. And then we also feature a lot of art. So I'm an artist myself. I do a lot of pop horror art. And we have artists like Lori Love, Oscar Fernandez, just a long list of talented artists that do darker but fun art that we feature in there. And then just tons of collectibles from, because our store does have a lot of taxidermy, does have a lot of creepy, unique items that are hard to find. But we also have stuff that appeals to everybody, like clothing and stickers. And
I would say 90% of our store is one-off items that are not manufactured. They're handmade by locals.
True. Sean, you talked about your background as an artist and as a musician, and then Kylie is a taxidermist and a lingerie designer. How important is it to have these spaces for people of, you know, who are interested in spooky things and cool things, and as artists and creatives in your own right?
I think for us, it's extremely important, you know? I think, especially for this area, because it just didn't have it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think people just, they needed somebody to step up and provide the space.
I feel like there's a lot of people who have come into our store and said, man, I didn't know there was other people out there like me. Like, I'm so glad you guys' store is here. We just want to build that community of people who are into Halloween and the darker things in life and show them they're not alone.
That's super important because we always talk about, like, the diversity of our community, but there are so many subcultures within Waco that, you know, people just never really see. And so I think it's so cool that you guys are bringing that to the forefront.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So as the only store in Waco, like you mentioned, you guys have done an awesome job in cultivating spooky communities and bringing light to the subculture. I've seen a lot of people online bring awareness to, like, mental health and more holistic ways of, you know, engaging with yourself. Yes. Have you guys noticed any kind of increase in people coming looking for those kind of items, like crystals? And
So we do have a large section of metaphysical items because it really is, I don't want to say it's a trend, but it is, like, a very growing sector of the population. Metaphysical is really helping a lot of people. We do offer tarot readings in our store Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 3 to 6. And I remember the first time that I had my tarot reading, I literally felt like I had just got done with a 10-year therapy session.
Really?
It was amazing. I was blown away, and I was like, we have to start offering this at the store. You can find one of our tarot readers, Cassie from the Jaunty Jungle, or Timbrel, or I have a guest reader, Brittany, who will be there. And the tarot readings really, they're great for everybody. Get some insight, get some direction.
Yeah, and Sean, you mentioned earlier that you have a lot of artists who have works on display at your space. Are they for sale too?
Yeah, they are for sale. We feature Lori Love is our in-house artist, and then a lot of mine. And then monthly we swap out to have an additional artist that comes in and sells their product.
Artist of the month.
And we just filmed 3 episodes of the Paintbrush Social Club at Skellington Curiosities, which is a contest of local artists from different backgrounds. And they're able to win prizes and get a feature in our store too.
How can people, like, tune into that?
It'll be on February 15th. It'll launch on Amazon Prime and YouTube.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are also offering classes in your space too, right?
Yes. Yeah. We let our vendors use our store as a space to teach classes or things that they'd like to do, hold little events. Cassie from the Jaunty Jungle has been holding some beginners 101 tarot classes, as well as, like, moon water classes, just fun little things like that. It's really fun seeing all these people come together and enjoying and learning about things that they're passionate about.
And we also host a monthly cocktails and crystals party.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you guys have, like, a bartender on hand? Like, what does that look like?
If you're 21 or over, we provide the drinks. You don't pay for them.
Yeah.
And we have a vendor from Deep Earth Treasures, Trisha. She comes and sets up a large table with all her kind of rare crystals and stuff for sale.
You guys really have a lot going on.
We do.
This is so exciting.
We like to stay busy.
Yeah. And so you guys also have a monthly market. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired you to start that?
When we started our business, we reached out to a lot of people, younger business owners in their 30s and stuff that have alt businesses like Waco Rage Room, Black Daisy Boutique, Living Dead Threads. And our goal has always been not to do the old school mentality and go after each other and compete. We want to be part of a thriving local economy. So we reach out, we form bonds, friendships, and we all inspire each other and support each other's events.
Yeah.
And
I would love to have every single one of these vendors inside of our store, but it just wasn't possible because there's so many good ones. So we were like, let's give them all a chance and hold a monthly market where we can do, like, 30 vendors every month.
And then each month we try to step it up a little bit. We now have a side stage sponsored by Keep Waco Loud, where we have the Skellington Sideshow. So we'll have Sword Swallowers, Fire Eaters. We just brought in some bands, T. Aguilar and
Isis
Lee. And we're basically just trying to make it a fun event for everybody.
Yeah. You know? I really, really enjoy that because I heard so many great things, and I've seen Isis and T both perform live.
Amazing.
And so I am always grateful for when people bridge arts and music together and just, you know, make the experience even more fun.
Definitely.
So yeah. So on average, how many vendors did you guys say you guys host?
Typically about 30 plus vendors.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of items are they selling during these markets?
Everything from handmade soaps to like, you know, more oddities mm-hmm. to
yes.
just everything.
Yeah, we have a couple resin artists, but it's really fun because all the vendors bring out their spooky items specifically for this market. Mm-hmm. So instead of doing it once a year around Halloween time, they have all year to like bring out their resin coffin boxes yeah. or like, you know, things like that. We've got Bossidy's Oddities brings all huge selection of wet specimens. Gaudy's Oddities brings out their matching his and her hearses and rolls through.
And then we also provide stuff. We have a baker that comes and brings breads. We have food trucks. So it's not just all spooky stuff. It's a diversity of things.
You mentioned earlier, but you guys are partnering with Cassie in the Junty Jungle, who mm-hmm. focuses on self-healing. Can you talk a little bit about
I recently got into this whole metaphysical thing, but I am just blown away at how much it really helps people. And when I met Cassie, we just really clicked and we're like, we need to like start something here for the community. We're hosting a metaphysical, holistic spring gathering. It's going to be a quarterly gathering. The spring one is on April 11th. We're hosting 60 vendors in the Skellington Curiosities parking lot. We are sponsoring 10 nonprofit businesses. So if anyone's interested, mm-hmm. please get in contact with us. It's going to be all service providers as well as like handcrafted items that fit the metaphysical realm. And we also have a lot of really great entertainment. We have a yoga demonstration. We have like a drum circle. We have flute players.
Wow. It sounds like that's something you definitely need to mark down on your calendar.
Yes, mark it down. April 11th.
And all of our events are safe. We're very COVID aware. Masks are required. We keep everybody under the 10 mm-hmm. cluster group. Everybody's safety is our first concern.
You guys have just hit the ground running in this year. That has been one for the books.
Yeah.
So as you reflect on this past year, what has been a highlight moment for you where you think, yeah, this is why we do what we do?
Oh, the highlight moment for me was when we had to shut down because of COVID, but we had all these people reaching out to us. Let me know how I can help. Like, can I still buy things from you? We want you guys to keep going. We need a store mm-hmm. like this. It was just so heartwarming. So to give back, we started doing like weekly giveaways and stuff for all of our Facebook followers. But it was just so heartwarming to see such a great response to our opening.
It's been amazing.
Well, great. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
The next Skellington Curiosities Oddities and Handmade Market will be February 28th at 7524 Bosque Boulevard in the Bosque Square Shopping Center from noon to 4 p.m. Connect with them online at skellingtoncuriosities.com for more information on other events and classes. Here's David Smith with this week's episode of David and Art.
The U.S. presidency is much on people's minds these days, to put it mildly. And over the past few years, there's been a lot of talk about the proper kind of image the president should put forward. Today is George Washington's birthday, and I'm thinking of an interesting book entitled The Painter's Chair, George Washington and the Making of American Art by historian Hugh Howard. It tells the story of the many times Washington patiently posed for artists and the ways in which the resulting portraits influenced how people thought of him and, ultimately, the curious new office which he was the first to occupy. Charles Wilson Peale first painted Washington's portrait in 1772, 3 years before the Revolution broke out and he was tapped to be Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. Howard notes that beyond the few who had seen the man in person, most of those who began proudly to call themselves Americans became acquainted with George Washington through Mr. Peale's eyes. Gilbert Stuart's paintings, however, are the ones with which most people are familiar today. Certainly one in particular is. In 1796, he began working on a portrait of Washington that remained unfinished a year later, except for the head. But by that point, most who saw it were in agreement that Stuart had captured something significant, even in the small portion he had thus far completed. It became the basis for, among other things, Washington's likeness on the $1 bill. As famous as these paintings would someday be, only a small number of people saw them in the first century of their existence. As he explains in his book, Popular Images of the Presidency, the eminent historian of the early republic, Noble Cunningham, points out that most people back then didn't get to see the portraits of Washington that were painted from life by accomplished artists. Most Americans gained their impressions of the presidents from engraved prints, and later, and more widely, from popular lithographs. The works of Stuart, Peale, and other artists of greater or lesser ability formed the basis for thousands of inexpensive reproductions that circulated among everyday people. Cunningham titles the opening chapter in his book, The Presidency Enshrined, and this is exactly what Washington's ubiquitous image did in the minds of Americans. The respect and devotion people felt for Washington transferred to the office which he pioneered, and showed for the first time, but not the last, how a personal public image can affect our attitude toward the government itself.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. With me now is Rebecca Hagman and Lori Davidson to introduce the Waco Town Chalk and Walk Food, Art, and Fashion Market. Thank you both for joining us today.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
Firstly, can you share a little bit about yourselves and how you're involved with the community's arts and cultural sector?
Yeah, so my husband and I started Cultivate 3 years ago, and we are so thrilled to be playing the role of, I think I can say without too much hubris, that like we're a bit of a downtown anchor for the arts community. And we really are most passionate about bringing artists opportunity to bring their work into the homes and lives of others. And so, you know, I think that no artist will contend with the fact that it's hard to be both a salesman and an artist. Those are not naturally paired talents, although some people have them. And so to get to be an advocate for artists, helping them with their business, helping them connect with potential collectors, and then also just helping the city experience the voice of its artists is really what we're most passionate about. And so we really feel like our role is to display and encourage the experience of who we are as a city culturally through the eyes of our visual artists, our musicians, and even our playwrights.
Like, that's a great thing, because in smaller cities, we don't have as many gallery opportunities for artists or for people to enjoy. So it's a nice experience to have.
Yeah, it's a real privilege to get to play this role of getting to, like, highlight the amazing creativity of the people around us.
Yeah. So, Lori, can you share a little bit about your background and how you're involved with the arts community?
Sure. I've been a teacher downtown for several years. My daughter took over my teaching position at Live Oak Classical School, gave Mama some free time to expand and really do something that my heart desires. And I've always liked to have antiques, upcycle, vintage pieces, rescue roadside trash into some beautiful things, keep things out of the landfill. So I've had booth spaces and shopping spaces around town for several years now. And when I was leaving Live Oak, I realized that we could use that valuable space. We're right next to Magnolia, the silos. And so my daughter and I decided to have a vendor fair for the creation of a teacher supply fund.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so we've done it for a few years now. And typically, in a non-COVID world, it's in March during Spring at the Silos and in October during Celebration. And so for the first year, we raised a few thousand for Live Oak teachers. They were thrilled. And it's just gone on from there. And so we've grown from a vendor base of about 30 up to 80 with several food trucks, live music. So it's been a real neat thing for the community to be able to bring in local talent, makers, artisans, and give them a platform to showcase their gifts.
So you guys are both heavily involved with artists and creatives through vendor markets and through your business, Rebecca, as an artist avenue. Since you guys have that direct link and are business owners in creative field yourselves, can you talk a little bit about some of the things that our creatives in this community have had to overcome and the experience throughout this last year?
Sure. I think, obviously, it's been very challenging. I do think that there have been some silver linings. I think that people have started to work online more. So I've seen a number of artists and creatives really press into creating an online presence for themselves in ways that maybe it would have taken them years to kind of get to that place where they were ready to do that. And then we've also invested heavily into Make in Waco and trying to advocate for our artist community online through Creative Waco's website. So that's been, I think, those have been kind of the highlights, the good parts that have come out of this. But I think for artists, just like for all of us, or anyone really trying to connect relationally, it's just been incredibly challenging. And yet, I think there's never been a time where the beauty and the communication that happens through a piece of work has been more important, because there are so many things that we're experiencing both individually and collectively that really we don't have words for.
Right.
I would like to believe that we're going to come out of this with a deeper understanding of the poignancy of art, a better understanding of why it's important to celebrate the artists in our lives. But in terms of the actual year that's just passed and the challenges it held, I think it was just very hard to stay engaged, very hard for artists to stay engaged, mm-hmm. very hard for people who even wanted to support artists to stay engaged. And I think that's why, as I look ahead to this year, I really am passionate about creating engagement opportunities like vendor markets, like continuing to press in with Make It in Waco, because I think we all just really need that connection.
It's like right when everything happened, the first thing we turned to was the arts. So we were watching TV, watching movies more, and really reflecting on all the times that we had, because people were like, dang, I remember the last time I went to a concert, and it was like the best thing. And if I would have known that was my last time experiencing it, I would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point.
So as you mentioned, the arts is a great way to draw people together and connect and build community. So in the last year or so, we have seen an explosion of markets happen around town. Markets have been a huge way in the last year or so that people have been able to gather and just support local artists. And so we're happy to announce a new one, right?
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. we're so excited. So we had had an event planned last year called Chalk Waco, and it was play off of an event that had launched previously, the year previous, where we did these beautiful chalk murals on the ground, and we did it in conjunction with the Silo Marathon, and we saw all these, like, thousands of people get to see the art that we were able to highlight, and it was really just an incredibly powerful and positive community event. And then last year we had to postpone, and so we were kind of reimagining the event for this year and realized, well, we're still not at a place where we really want to gather in a traditional sense. Having a chalk and walk where we're still encouraging people to socially distance, to move, to like keep an eye on public safety, but we're still featuring art and giving artists an opportunity to sell their work, really was kind of the marriage of all the things that we want to see happen this year. Yeah. So we came up with Waco Town Chalk and Walk. And so we're going to have chalk on the all of Austin Avenue along the middle of the road so that people can like observe and enjoy and take pictures. And those murals will be created in conjunction with businesses. So they'll highlight different businesses in the community. And then we'll also have vendor market, which is we didn't really have that the first year. Mm. And so we are partnering with amazing community partners like the Farmers Market and Lulabelle's. And we're obviously working in lockstep with the city, kind of trying to like cast a vision for this and still waiting on all the approvals and all the potential safety guidelines to be in place. So we just at this point are just casting this vision. It's May 8th and 9th, and we're offering ourselves like our voice here for feedback. So if people like want to talk about either concerns they have or hopes they have or ways that want to be involved, we want to kind of put that out. And we're just going to keep working towards these dates with the hope that they happen. And we're going to put all our efforts here and hope that something really lovely comes together.
And you mentioned this is a completely collaborative event because those tend to be better. So can you talk a little bit about why a market format is the best and why vendor opportunities are so important during this time?
Sure. The vendors definitely have been struggling. This is a season of pivoting, and it has been for a while. But Waco has always been friendly and supportive to local makers and artisans. So I feel that an outdoor event is a lot safer, and there's so many benefits to outdoor markets versus indoor markets. Enlivens the urban public spaces, generates employment. I'm sure a lot of vendors will be happy to show what they've been making over this past year. And, you know, they keep shoppers safer with good airflow because it's outside. Obviously, safety is our number one priority, but with some common sense measures, spacing vendors out, having hand sanitizers, and I'm imagining we'll still be wearing masks, I do feel that it's a safer opportunity for us to get back to life as we know it.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to see this idea of, you know, we're going to have partners, hopefully, like, who are who have different audiences. And so I think the idea of this kind of really diverse, really bringing in all these creative concepts, really giving people a single weekend where they can really show up and experience so much. And I'm really hopeful that, like, even though, you know, the hope isn't that we're crowded, but that lots of people are able to walk through over the course of 2 days. Mm-hmm. And we're really able to create a comprehensive community experience, both for the people who are coming and for the vendors themselves. And the other thing that's really exciting about this is in the month of May, we'll basically be kicking off a month of markets.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of just happened, which is so exciting. Talk about the joy of collaboration
and
a community of like-minded people. Because we'll be that weekend of the 8th and 9th, and then we'll have the next weekend is the third Sunday, and so I think that'll be Eastside. The next weekend's the fourth Sunday, that'll be Skellington's, and then the next one is Art Fest. They'll have their Art Fest
every weekend
for Memorial Day. And
that is a stacked month.
Yeah. And so for any vendors listening to this, like, we're excited to be like, hey, think about creating those that deep stockpile of those the work that you want to be selling, and think about this being a month economically where maybe you can really experience some real recovery. And I think, like, for people who are potentially thinking of purchasing, if you can just get out in May, check out all these great markets that we're hopefully going to be producing, and really think of this as the month where you buy all your graduation gifts, all your Mother's Day gifts, all your congratulations you graduated from fifth grade gifts, you know, like,
or just buy things to buy them.
This is a real opportunity for us as a city to just see that rising tide lift all boats, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
So a part of the event is art for sure, but it's also food and fashion. Can y'all speak a little bit about what that looks like and how that's incorporated?
Yeah. So we were hoping to make room for Baylor's fashion show that they usually do at the end of the semester. We talk about artists, but when you look at Baylor's community, they're having the same experience where they're producing work and really not having the opportunity to showcase it the way that we would hope. And so to hopefully invite, really inviting them out to come and focus on this fashion event. And then I think there'll be fashion vendors. So people who maybe make their own clothes. We have somebody who embroiders their own, like, kind of like cool emblems on like jackets, and people who do vintage stuff, and really want to make sure that we're highlighting that as a creative aspect, because yes, visual art, but all of the joy of, just like Lori says, like reusing clothing and really taking something that someone maybe saw as garbage, but you turn it into something of beauty, like, that's absolutely to be celebrated.
And the food truck scene at the Little Bells Markets has been wonderful. Definitely with the restaurants up and down Austin Avenue and the addition of food trucks, we'll have a variety of offerings.
Yeah. It just shows the entrepreneurial spirit of the people in our community. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you, Kennedy. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you, Kennedy, for having us.
The Waco Town Chalk and Walk will be May 8th through 9th, with more details to come. Connect with Creative Waco online on Facebook and Instagram at Creative Waco for more information on how to get involved as an artist, sponsor, or vendor. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org, and you can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch the next episode on Friday, March 26th for more deep dives into local arts and culture. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.